Hi, everybody, and welcome to the weekly Nintendo News Roundup Live, where every Friday night, the all-in crew breaks down the week in Nintendo news. Hey, Bowza. Bowza's here in the chat. Good evening. Good to see y'all. Thanks for coming through. I'm sick, if you can't tell. And spoilers, in the podcast tomorrow, you're going to hear a lot more sickly Seth. I'm getting there. I'm on the upswing, but I'm sick. Just get ahead of that. Also, address another elephant in the room. My lights for my office went out this morning, and I haven't been able to get replacement light bulbs. So I'm here, like, in the dark, sick. I feel like I'm coming at you from some sort of cave somewhere, you know, where I'm being held hostage, you know? I'm being
Seth, blink
tortured.
Twice if you need help.
I'm in rough shape over here, y'all, but we're still, despite all of it, we had to, you know, get together tonight to bring y'all the week in Nintendo news. Good to see everybody. Happy to be back. Happy to be back in the swing of things. But Eric, you know how we start the show every week.
Absolutely. It's nice for you to be back because I have missed the way you shout out our patrons each and every week.
Yes, we begin our show with shouting out our patrons at patreon.com/allinpodcast. Huge thanks to everybody who supports us over there. We really appreciate y'all, especially to our golden banana bunch like Rob Yapel, Third Strongest Mole, Sean O'Baggins Ashton, Tim A, aka Neoprime 33, aka Nintendo Dad Number 4, Matt, Shy Guy City Murray, Phelan Ward, Bill Tucker, Marcus O'Neill, Liam D, Gamer Jason, Andrew Wilkins, Foolish Fuji, Alan Hashtag Look to the Cookie, Patrice Millette, and Solo Something. Big thanks to our Golden Banana Bunch. You can get a 7-day free trial to the Golden Banana tier. Join their ranks, see what all the fuss is about. But moving into our Triforce tier, need to thank Josh Vaughn, the godfather of Tingle Love Tuesday, John Datfast Cummins of the Retrologic Podcast, as well as the On Topic Retro Podcast, the Globetrotting Jet Set Nintendo Hub and Sparky of the Nintendo Hub right here on YouTube, Adam Caparello of the Retro Groove Podcast, Shy Guy, the other half of our Shy Guy Mod Squad, Daniel Hinojosa, Dan and Luma, Bowza, who I've been told is the keeper of the hugs now. So Bowza, the keeper of the hugs, live here in chat at youtube.com/allinpodcast. And of course, the legend himself.
The balance, the one who balances Seth's darkness to my light, Uncle Randy.
Randy.
If you're listening to the podcast version of this, not only is Seth's light out, but he's also black shirt, black beanie, whereas my room is very well lit, white shirt. It actually looked like pre-planned, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the yin and yang right now.
Kind of looks like it, yeah. Especially with my balding head really gleaning the light, you know, off
big old,
of it. Making
big
it even
old
brighter
beard
in
and
here.
Head full of hair over here, too. So we're really bouncing each other out right now. it's like a real Kingdom Hearts chess game right now. We're just something light and dark. Something Kingdom Hearts. You know. Big thanks to everybody who supports us over there. Great way to support the show, of course, patreon.com/allinpodcast. Links are in the video description if you're watching us on YouTube. Pick up some merch, bit.ly/allinmerch. And if you listen to us on your podcast feed, your podcatcher of choice, you can leave us a review as well. That's a free way to support the show. So that's
free means no money.
Free means no money. Yeah. And that's really appreciated, too. But with all of that out of the way, what do you say we talk about some news?
Yeah, it's been kind of an interesting past couple of weeks, but this week in particular brought with us some new delays, some new showcases, some new fun things, some new not fun things. Again, the light and the dark. So let's balance it out. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Level 5 held their Level 5 Vision 2023 2 presentation on Wednesday morning. They had me awake at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch that thing. And I did live react to it right here on the YouTube channel. You can go back and watch the VOD if you want to. Had actually, just like with the first Level 5 Vision presentation, a shocking amount of people came out and hung out and watched that thing. So big shout out to everybody who watched that with me early in the morning. We came into it kind of knowing, Level 5 had announced, we had reported on that here on the show, but they had announced beforehand that the plan was we're going to give release date information for all of our currently announced games. And they did, for better or for worse. I think to address the elephant in the room, the two games that I think most people came into this really curious about was Deca Police and Professor Layton. Professor Layton just from hype factor, but Deca Police because up until this presentation, Deca Police was still on docket for 2023 leading up to this. So spoilers, neither one of those are coming out anytime soon.
Unfortunately not. And the gentleman does open the little animated VTuber gentleman.
The president. Mm-hmm.
They begin basically by saying, like, listen, guys, there's been a lot of delays. Like, he even has like a little VTuber pose for being on his knees in like a bowing position. Like,
yeah,
we're so sorry. We're so sorry. However, that's immediately followed by a fire behind him, fist in the air. We strive to make the best games that we can. Wait just a little longer and you won't be disappointed. We promise. So this, like, this entire show basically just felt like an apology / please still be excited about our game show.
Mm-hmm. It was, and like, it was cute. You get the sense, especially when we look at the totality of the news that they shared here, that Level 5 kind of bit off more than they can chew. Because what we're looking at here, so Deca Police, I guess let's start with Layton. Layton, they showed gameplay for the first time.
Actual first gameplay footage, which is interesting. We got to see, Luke and Professor Layton and, them speaking with a couple of the NPCs in the game, but they actually took us through like a full on puzzle in the game, like straight up spoiled one of the puzzles in the game. But I mean, still, I assume there's more than a couple. So
it's probably one of like 300 puzzles in the game.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but it was still cool finally seeing some of that before, they broke our hearts a little bit, but it's looking good. It's looking like, It's looking like a console version of a game that came out on the 3DS. It looks like it's very much remaining faithful to everything that came before, but a pretty noticeable glow up.
Yeah, I think it looks great. They did a really good job of translating. Professor Layton has a very particular art style. It takes a lot of inspiration from like French animation, and they've done a really good job of translating some of that stuff into 3D. It looks great. They showcase like how you can kind of write on the screen, which has been a staple of the Professor Layton series because it's always been a handheld with a touchscreen before. So nice to see that you can just kind of straight up write on like the environment now, which is cool. So that functionality is not going away. I hope you can use motion controls for that stuff. I hope that's in the game, but they haven't confirmed or denied. But the big news is that, of course, it has been delayed to 2025.
Yeah.
So it's not even coming out next year. It's coming out the year after. So that's a significant... we didn't have any sort of semblance of when it was coming out beyond just 2024, but for that to be pushed all the way to 2025, that was a big blow. That hurt. That was a rough one.
Yeah. And it's surprising to hear that it's been delayed that long, because they even said in the presentation, all of the puzzles have already been designed. We already have that, which says to me, like, the story's done, the narrative's done. Like, you have the engine, so it seems like a very large portion of the work has been done. I know that a lot of game development is fixing bugs and stuff like that, so I can only imagine that the translation of the Professor Layton series to a console is coming with a lot of unexpected challenges behind the scenes, because with everything they said they've already completed, it really surprised me to hear that it's not even releasing next year.
Mm-hmm. I think that this one has to be, I mean, I'm founding this off of nothing other than my expectations for the game. It kind of has to be a pretty significant step up in terms of like, because Professor Layton as a series, as it has gone on, has become more and more like cinematic. And there's been like, to the point where if you took all of the like cutscenes of especially the later Professor Layton games like Unwound Future, it's like a little movie. you know, and they have done Professor Layton animated movies in Japan. So I kind of expect that this, that a lot of the work for this is going to go into like performance capture, not like motion capture, but like actually voice acting, rendering cut scenes and making that stuff. And I also think that like the steampunk kind of aesthetic, like it clearly is going to be in like a much busier like place visually. So even though they've designed puzzles, they may not have fully designed where those puzzles take place. So, but you know, who knows? I also think it's probably a fairly small team working on this, comparative, because Level 5, I was looking at this like while we were live, Level 5 is only 300 people total. And they have a lot of projects going on right now. Yeah. And the idea of all of these coming out between 2023 and 2024 was probably always a bit of a stretch. So I'm not necessarily shocked by this. As I start to piece all of that stuff together and I start to think it through, but it doesn't bum me out any less. I mean, yeah. I came into this thinking, man, this would be a great, like, I thought, you know, fall 2024 at the latest. And now here it is, 2025. It's probably going to be on like Switch 2 at this point, you know.
Possibly. So, very possibly. Yeah. And, you know, we'll, I don't want to sit up here and sound like, it's like, well, you guys always talk about how delays are good things, you know, a delayed game is eventually good and all that stuff. Yes, I am glad that a game that needs extra time is taking that extra time. But to be removed to an entirely different calendar year is no less disappointing for something that we are excited about. And again, with you, Seth, I do think that Level 5 should have set more realistic expectations from the offset, because that wasn't the only thing delayed in this presentation. So, you know, they're already talking about their Vision 2024 showcase and already talking about... they're already talking about unveiling even more projects. I'm like, guys, maybe let's just, let's regroup a little bit, find out what's going on and go from there.
There's a lot of ambition going on with Level 5 right now. Level 5 has a lot of games, a lot of irons in the fire, and they've also committed to releasing all of these games globally at the same time, which also takes time. So it's not enough, like, they could have, Professor Layton might be done, you know, in summer of 2024 or something, but that won't matter because they still have to localize it and then record all of the, you know, the English VO and, you know, and do all of that work before they can release it, because they've committed to releasing it simultaneously globally. So that takes a lot of work too, and that takes time. So it's unfortunate. The other big one though, Deca Police, like I said, coming into this, was still on the docket for 2023. I mean, there was basically no way it was ever still going to come out in 2023, but people have played this game. Like, yeah, they've demoed it. People have played it. It seemed like it was coming along well. And we kind of expected coming into this, okay, it'll get delayed, but it's probably, you know, February, you know, 2024. And all they've said so far, which was a little confusing.
It's so weird. It's so weird. Yeah. I've never seen anything like this before. They didn't even say 2024. Its official new release date is post 2024. And like, I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. Are they saying that 2025 at the earliest, potentially 2026? I don't know if it's lost in translation type thing.
It is.
But yeah, post 2024, I had no clue what to glean from that.
Yeah, it's a translation error, unfortunately. They did clarify this on social media after the fact. What they meant was like after the new year, like after it turns, like it'll be in 2024, but it'll be after, like post 2024 to them. What they were trying to say was that it'll be after, you know, it's not coming this year. It'll be after 2024.
Yeah.
So it is still coming next year at some point. But they didn't even, like, what was strange to me was even Professor Layton got new gameplay.
Yep.
Deca Police didn't get any sort of new trailer or
a game that's already had a playable build.
Yeah.
A game that's already had a playable build got nothing. No new cinematics, no new trailers, no new gameplay footage, not even a sizzle reel. They just showed a couple still images while Hino talked about, hey, you know, we showed it off at TGS and it seemed to be regarded really well. We're really excited for you guys to get your hands on this. And then that was
just
it.
Just weird.
I was like, okay, yeah. Sure. Okay, cool. I'm still excited for it. Deck Police seems like a really interesting new IP for level 5. It's got some, it looks like it's got a lot of personality. The, you know, weird dichotomy of the combat and the kind of detective work that you're going to be doing in the game just looks super intriguing. So, like, a lot of the games that they showed off, I do think look interesting. I was even more interested to play Fantasy Life I by the time they finished showing it off. But again, not showing anything for, you know, I would say arguably a game that's got people as excited as Professor Layton at this point, not showing anything for that, just saying post 2024 was kind of a weird way, especially to pseudo end the show. It seemed like kind of a whimper to end the show on.
Yeah, it was weird. It was, it was just a weird way of handling it. Those are the two big like bummers, but we did actually get a pretty good showcase for a Megaton Musashi Wire.
Yeah.
Which does
look clearly really cool. Going to be a new anime series. That's what I gleaned from the trailer.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. But that's coming out April 25th. It's going to have full cross-play multiplayer when it comes out. Again, this is a global simultaneous release for it. And it looks great. Like, yeah, I actually think it looks really fun. I don't know if this is going to come out and sell 10 million copies. But it looks really cool. It looks fun. It had like a great like over the top anime like theme song to it, which was cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. Looked good.
Yeah, it looks like some kind of, you know, Gundam tactic style, just really cool mecha combat game. I dug it. I'm really excited to check this out when it comes out. So again, April 25th. I mean, if Level 5 is intelligent, they'll coincide the next year's Vision 2024 that they've already confirmed for April. They'll coincide with the, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But regardless, that game comes out, that we actually got a hard release date for that. So I don't know, like, I'm not actually really familiar with that series. Is this going to be the first game in that series released in the West, do you know?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I thought.
They had said something, I think the first one was like a mobile game or something like that, that was only in Japan. So I think this is the first one worldwide. Yeah. Looks cool.
Yeah, they talked about the story coming to a conclusion, so maybe a couple people might need to brush up on the lore. Or, you know, if you don't care about the lore, just jump in and fight robots. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That seems like what the deal is. We did get a good spotlight on Fantasy Life I, The Girl Who Steals Time. A lot of hype for that. That's coming next summer. They showcased, they're adding two new classes or jobs or lives or whatever to the game, which is neat. They talked about how you can play the game in online co-op. Which is great. They showed something that I've always wished that Animal Crossing would do, which is when you're placing, like, well, combat would be kind of funny in Animal Crossing. No, don't put combat in Animal Crossing.
No, Nintendo. Don't do it.
Never do that. But the ability when you're placing furniture outside to see it on a grid and just like lay it out on a grid, even outside, like, man, I wish Animal Crossing would do that. That, like, I looked at that and I was like, that would be such a godsend in Animal Crossing. But yeah, I think this looks cool. This is, I think, one that is going to be a bit of a sleeper hit. I never played the first Fantasy Life. People love that game. So yeah, I'm interested.
A lot of gameplay variety. They showed off a ton of stuff that looked like Animal, like looked exactly like Animal Crossing home and town customization. They showed some really interesting kind of light combat mechanics, almost like Monster Hunter Lite or something. They showed mini games in regards to cooking and other things that you can do. So it looks like there's going to be a ton of variety, ton of gameplay variety specifically, and a lot of stuff that you're going to be able to do. I you know, kind of low key, the amount that they showed off did get me is like, okay, maybe I'll actually check this out. Maybe I'll try this. It wasn't something that was on my radar after their first Vision showcase earlier on this year. I wasn't completely sold on it, but after this one, I'm like, okay, maybe. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coming next summer. They said that, and this was funny because they were like, yeah, we're, for strategic reasons, we're not going to give the full date. I wonder what that could mean.
Yeah, apparently they have settled on a date, but they're just not going to tell us yet. So I don't, sure. I guess that gives them the option to push it back further if they want. I don't know.
Well, and it's like, also, by the time that comes out, there's a chance for a Nintendo Direct to happen probably in February where this could get a date, and or maybe even both, their own second presentation in April that, you know, that they could date it there too. So they've given themselves plenty of, you know, a wide enough berth for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so they said summer 2024. September is still in summer. We're going to get a Nintendo Direct in September. Maybe it's a shadow drop from the September Direct next year.
Yeah. And then Inazuma 11 Victory Road, which does nothing for me. I don't know about you.
You know what? I'm kind of into it. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of into it because it looks, on the offset, it just looks like an arcade-style soccer game. But there's so many weird RPG, so many bizarre mechanics at play in this game. I just can't help but be intrigued. And I remember from the first Vision Showcase, they were talking about adding content and adding stuff from, like, the entirety of the series. So even if it's not a game or a franchise that you've checked out before, apparently, like, this is kind of going to be an all-in-one package. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of interested. I do think it was a bizarre choice to basically have, like, an entire 5-minute number-crunching exposition dump from the early part of the game. I was actually kind of into it. I was like, okay, so this is how the game works, and you can do stuff like that, and that's what they're going for. I was kind of into it, but at the same time, I was thinking, like, if you're not into it, you've got to be asking, what in the world is level 5 doing right now?
Yeah, it like screeched it to a halt.
Yeah, it did.
I was like, dude, come on, man. Like, it seems interesting. Like, the concept is interesting, and, like, it's going to have some deep, like, mechanics to it, clearly. Yeah. But yeah, I was definitely one of those. I was like, I zoned out minutes ago. I'm like,
I bet. Yeah. I was like that. They just straight up had a 5-minute number crunching exposition dump from the beginning part of the game, just kind of out of nowhere. No gameplay involved whatsoever. Just, you know, 5 minutes of two characters talking back and forth. It's like, well, this guy's attack is 260, but this goalie's defense is 470. But if we take this striker and do this, and this, just imagine that, but genuinely for like 5 or 6 minutes. That's what they did. And again, I was kind of into it. I was like, okay, so I see what they're going for. But again, at the same time, I was thinking, if this isn't your thing, like, what are you even thinking right now about this presentation?
Yeah, not the right place for that sort of thing, I don't think, but
it wasn't.
Is what it is. The game still looks kind of neat, but that was pretty much it. And they, you know, they did, you alluded to it earlier, but they announced at the end that they're doing another one of these, the first one for 2024. In April, they basically confirmed that they're going to announce a new Yo-Kai Watch there, which is cool because people are really into that. Like, every time I host one of these and live react to one of these presentations, there's always a bunch of people in the chat, just people who are total randos being like, Yo-Kai Watch, Yo-Kai Watch.
So, well, they did have really some Yo-Kai Watch stuff there. I mean, it just wasn't for Switch. It was for the Yo-Kai Watch mobile game, which I didn't even realize came out back in 2015, apparently. But no Kai Watch is what we're.
Yeah, well, like they had that little teaser there.
Yeah.
For whatever, they're like, we're gonna announce a brand new title there, and like, it's just so obviously Yo Kai Watch. So we'll see what happens there. That'll be cool, you know. It's a little surprising that it's taken them this long to put a Yo Kai Watch game on Switch. It's wildly popular in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Give the people what they want. But at the same time, I'm also just like, man, y'all are having a difficult time kind of managing the games that you have. I'm not sure if I want you to announce new stuff. But, you know, it is what it is. All the best to them. I love Level 5's games.
Yeah.
I think these all look good, you know,
in
their own ways. So, yeah.
There's no game that was shown off today, no game that was even mentioned today, that I am just 100% like, no on. I'd be more than willing to play any of these games. And I was actually, the ones that I was most lukewarm on, I was actually more interested by the end of the showcase. But again, ultimately, this was basically an apology presentation They came right out at the beginning and said, sorry, there's going to be a lot of delays, but don't worry, we are committed. You know, we have these high standards of quality. And like, they don't even have to say that. Their track record proves that. Level 5 has that pedigree. Level 5 has that track record. So as heartbreaking as it was to see, you know, post-24, 2025 release dates come up for some of the most exciting games that they have on their docket, I do have quite a bit of faith that they are going to come through with the final products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking forward to it whenever that stuff does come out. But that was Level 5 Vision 2023. Again, you can catch my live reaction here on the YouTube channel if you would like to. That is there. But let's talk a little bit about Beyond Good and Evil 20th anniversary.
This was so weird. This was so weird. Okay, a little bit of context for this announcement. A early version of this game somehow made its way into the wild onto the official accounts of Ubisoft Plus members. And all of a sudden, one morning, people were playing what they truly thought was the official release of the 20th anniversary edition, the 20th anniversary celebration remaster of Beyond Good and Evil. I saw John Cartwright tweet about it. I saw several people tweet about it, and it was just in bad shape. It looked atrocious, genuinely looked worse than the original release of the game. And I didn't know what was going on. Then the Beyond Good and Evil and the Ubisoft Twitter accounts came out and said, well, actually, that was a complete mistake. And they say, quote, well, the cat's out of the bag. They actually say dag nabbit in their tweet, which is kind of adorable. I do kind of like that. Happy 20th anniversary to Ubisoft's Beyond Good and Evil. And apparently they're going to have some more information coming early 2024. About the new version of the game. They went on again to say that an early version of the game got out into the wild prematurely, yeah. But that is not indicative of the final version of the game.
Yep, that's what they say. And they also say that, like, the official launch set for early 2024, we're dedicated to making it an experience that truly honors the legacy of the original. Thank you for your understanding and continued support. So, weird situation.
Yeah. They
were kind of forced to. I imagine that this is going to get a full announcement at the Game Awards. I imagine they're going to have like some kind of trailer or something. This was leaked via the ESRB listing months ago.
Yeah, this is a very poorly kept secret. We knew this was a thing.
Yeah, we knew this was coming. We reported on it on the show. It is supposed to be coming to Switch, according to that listing. So we'll see what the deal is there. Again, I imagine there will be some kind of trailer or something at the Game Awards. But this game's great. And I really am hopeful that this 20th anniversary edition is done right, because if it is...
Yeah.
This will be one. It also worth noting, their Twitter account still is Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah, I know. Which, I saw that.
You know, we'll see if that ever actually happens. But still, yeah, looking forward to it.
I am too. If you haven't checked it out, the game is a cult classic from the GameCube era. And I was so disappointed when those early tweets and that media started coming out and the side-by-side comparisons that, again, genuinely looked worse than the original release of the game. I don't even know how something like that happens. How, like, yeah. a full version of the game, a full playable build, begin to end of the game, winds up playable in people's official accounts. I can't even fathom the number of missteps and failed security measures that need to happen for that situation to occur.
Well, I think they wanted to have a listing up, you know, so that people could go ahead and maybe they'll turn on pre-orders at that point or something after they announce it. Maybe, you know, whatever the case may be, they wanted to have like the listing ready to go. They just didn't do it privately. And I think in order to do that, I think you do have to put up something. It can't just be like an empty listing. So I think that's probably what happened. Just the issue was that like they didn't do it privately. They did it publicly. And I don't know if that's because of some kind of weird misstep with Ubisoft Plus, where people were just able to kind of get it as it became available. But hopefully it's a lesson learned. I mean, it's a good thing that it was this and not like a bigger game like, you know, Star Wars Outlaws or whatever. Like, that would have been a real mess.
Yeah.
So luckily it was just this and they were able to sort of come out and course correct.
It almost kind of reminds me of that old like Fantastic Four movie that was released just so Sony could like keep the rights to the Fantastic Four or something. It's like, let's release this version of the game just so we can keep the copyright rights to Beyond Good and Evil for the actual upcoming legitimate release. It was probably some studio of like five people that thought they were working on the real 20th anniversary remaster only to have it released just for tax purposes or something.
I don't know. Either way, I'm looking forward to it. I imagine this gets, you know, like a full rollout at the Game Awards. So we'll see. Splatoon 3, the chill season started just today, actually. Now underway. And it's they announced on Twitter. I brought it up here. Frosty Fest,
yep.
which is coming back. We haven't seen this since Splatoon 2, and they haven't said exactly what this is going to be, a Splatfest, but they haven't said what the teams are going to be. We have some artwork for it here. We're seeing here how like Splatsville and Inkopolis are going to look, you know, decorated for the season, which is cute, you know, little snowmen and stuff everywhere. We're also going to see, you know, Deep Cut has their winter outfits here.
I dig them.
Which are all really good, you know, some kind of like New Year sort of looking outfits for Frosty Fest, which is cool. Oh yeah, Callie and Marie have their outfits here too, looking like they're ready to perform, you know, for the ball drop or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're ready to be Mariah Carey backup dancers.
You're not
we
wrong.
Also, yeah, we I don't see it here in the tweet, but they showed some gear that maybe I can find it if I dig on their Twitter a little bit. But they showed some of the gear. Yeah, here it is, that they're giving away as well. Kind of like similar to what they did for Halloween. So you're going to get like Golden Gala Mask, Octo Pearl Crown, Coral Wreath, and Dapper Dasher Hat.
Dude, that top hat is legit.
Yeah, I'm guessing the monocle comes included.
That top hat is legit. That.
So... pretty cool. Pretty cool that they're doing this. Again, we don't know the exact details of this. I'm sure they're going to give them soon. But Frosty Fest is returning this year for Splatoon 3, so please be excited.
Yeah, I hope I can get that masquerade mask and the top hat. I'm going to just start running around Splatsville as Tuxedo Mask from Sailor Moon or something.
Yeah. Pretty neat. And I imagine they're going to distribute those the same way they did for Halloween, which is keep an eye on the news channel on your Switch.
Yeah.
If you've never used it before, there's a little news button at the bottom of your Switch, and sometimes Nintendo will distribute items for some of your games there, so keep a lookout for that. I'm sure that's what they'll do here.
Yeah, but it's new catalog, a whole new season of content, mm-hmm. to Splatoon 3, so look forward to that. Frosty Fest, yay, no new wintry content. I dig it. I really dig it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We love to see that. Okay, next
All right.
up here.
All right.
Let's talk about Wapeach. Let's talk about Wapeach.
How is this a thing? Oh, my Lord. Okay, so I just kind of passed by this a few times on Twitter today, not really thinking too much of it. But sure enough, the creator of Waluigi released some... at the time, concept art. This was never made official or anything, but this was an in-development project. This was a work in progress at Nintendo to create a Wadu version of Peach, similar to Wario and Waluigi. And it is replete with, frankly, like, dominatrix dress and boots and a weird, like, cat ears overhead mask and an actual crown. And I don't know. I don't know what to think about this one, man.
I don't like the design. I like the idea. I like the idea of there being a third sort of pillar to Wario and Waluigi. And I like the idea that, like, this was shared on, I think his name is Fumihide Aoki, the creator of Waluigi.
Yep.
He shared this, and this was a concept he was working on for the GameCube Mario Tennis game.
Yeah.
What was it called? Like Power Shot or something like that. And they were working on this character concept, and this was, yeah, going to be basically the evil Peach. And it's a neat idea. I kind of like the idea that they would have, like, a boss, you know, that they would have, like, kind of a, you know, a big bad queen that they were kind of, like, working for. Like, they're just the bumbling idiots working for the queen.
Their She's own like Cruella de Vil. Yeah, their own. Actually, yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, Jasper and Horace would be Wario and Waluigi. And, yeah, she'd be the, she'd absolutely be the Cruella de Vil in that trio. Now, with Mario Tennis, I would expect if Nintendo was ever going to do this, they would at this point kind of do the tandem of Wadoo Peach and Wadoo Daisy, because one of the images that they showed specifically shows Wah Peach holding a tennis racket, which kind of immediately gave away the concept, the game that they were conceptualizing this character for, which I mean, Waluigi's the exact same thing. That's where he made his debut.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, like, you know, again, I like the idea. I'm not in love with the design. We've heard a couple of mixed reports about why this got scrapped. One of them was that it was really similar to another, like, Tatsunoko character that that Nintendo was afraid that that they would confuse her with. I forget the character's name, but they were, like, concerned. There's a few little design similarities that they were concerned that maybe they would get confused with that. But, like, also, I think Miyamoto was just like, I don't know that I care to see a female, you know, like Wah Peach. I don't know if I care to see this idea, come to life. So it didn't get too far. I don't know that we'll ever see anything happen with this, but the internet has absolutely taken it and run with it.
Oh, of course.
It's still trending on Twitter. Anytime there's any sort of, like, uncovered weird Mario character concept like this, you know, this has got shades of Bowsette, you know, yeah, all
course.
Over it.
Of course.
The internet really latches on to stuff like, and I love to see stuff like this too. It's just kind of fun, you know, to think about what could have been, you know.
The what ifs of some of the most famous stories in entertainment history are always going to be fascinating. The things that didn't happen and what could have happened if we had gotten Wah Peach, if this character had actually come to light, how it might have actually impacted the Mario franchise. So I don't really disagree with Miyamoto if that's the decision that he made based on his reasoning. It's like, I don't think the character's necessary. I don't really disagree with that assessment. But yeah, just seeing these potential characters, like, this was the closest to Bowsette that Nintendo basically ever actually got.
I kind of, like, there's a part of me that kind of wishes she was, like, I kind of dig the rocker, like, she's got, like, the spiked, you know, wristband and stuff, but she still has, like, a gem on her chest, kind of like Peach. She's got these weird, like, kind of puff balls around her ears.
Yeah, almost look like mocap balls. She's got this slender crown.
Yeah, I would have liked it if they really leaned into the kind of, like, rocker, you know, sort of thing. That would have been kind of neat. But, you know, it's a fun idea. It's fun to see this kind of stuff, you know, creep out every so often. The internet's really taken it and run with it. So yeah.
Weirdly, she looks like Rosalina's teenage emo phase.
Maybe a little. In the concept art here, they show her holding an axe at one point. here, which is kind of funny. So yeah, I don't know. This is just like a fun little story. Nintendo's never gonna officially do anything with it, you know, but still fun to talk about, fun to look at.
I think I might have to stay off Reddit for a while.
Yeah, that is fair. Okay. We got a couple little stories here and then we'll hit notable releases. First up, we have the first of several planned updates to Atari 50.
Yes!
Coming next Tuesday. They're adding 12 Atari 2600 titles to the game in what they're calling a holiday content update. Also worth noting that Digital Eclipse's second Gold Master series is going to be revealed at the Day of the Devs. They announced that, I think, earlier today, that it's going to be a part of the Day of the Devs thing.
Where was happening. It? Where did they say it was 12 new games?
It's on the press release.
Okay,
it's the 12 press release. New Atari 2600 titles specifically.
Okay.
So
I had no clue that they were even thinking about adding more content to this. There's already so many games in the Atari 50 collection. It's absolutely worth checking out. An absolute triumph of Digital Eclipse, of Interactive. basically an interactive video game documentary. The fact that they're adding 12 full-on games as update, as free update content, that's very important. This is going to be a free update. The fact that they're adding 12 full-on Atari games in a free update is wild to me. It almost makes me wonder whether or not there was a follow-up game, like in its conceptual stages, that they were kind of saving those games for, that got scrapped. It was like, well, you know, let's just put them on the first one then.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny too. Yeah, so I have the press release right here. Coming December 5th, 2023, yep. This update rings in the holiday season with the addition of 12 fan-favorite Atari 2600 titles from the console's heyday, from officially released titles and player-powered homebrews to once-lost Atari prototypes. Atari 50 shapes up to be the gift that keeps on giving.
Player-powered homebrews. You'll love to see it.
Yeah, so that's cool, man. It's pretty neat. The game already had so much content in it. It's cool that they're continuing to update, and they've already said this is the first of several planned updates.
Yep.
To the game. So yeah, pretty neat. Yeah.
So if you haven't checked it out, that's 12 more reasons to already, with more on the way. It's an absolute must own if you're even remotely a fan of video game history. Sure, they're Atari games, so they may not hold up to a lot of modern sensibilities. But this is 1,000% my jam.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, to see whatever the next Gold Master series is going to be, that'll be cool.
Dude, super excited for that.
We got Karateka already, so that'll be cool to see what the next game getting this treatment is going to be. So we'll know that next week. Staying in the retro pocket here for this last little headline, F-099's 1.1.0 update dropped this week and added classic mode, which allows 20 players to compete with classic SNES rules and mechanics. I played a little bit of this just to test it and see what the deal was. Mm-hmm. It is fun to just kind of go back to F-Zero and play it like God intended, you know, without like the skyways and all that. You know, it's kind of fun to play like classic F-Zero and F-Zero 99.
Yeah, we're just a half step away from an actual new game. Come on, Nintendo, you can do it. You're almost there. You're almost there.
It basically is. I mean, yeah, it basically is just like, you know, it's not in the form you might want, but it's there, and it's a neat little addition, man. A cool update. They you know, they're continuing to support it. They've got new Tetris 99 content still coming out.
Yep.
So yeah. Yeah. Neat update.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out. I actually still haven't even tried out F-Zero 99 yet, but with all these. With all these content updates, the new, like the Queen series, the King series, the new tracks, and especially with this mode, having the 20 players on the track and that really throwing it back to the old, because I played F-Zero a little bit recently on NSO, and man, that game still holds up. It's still super, super fun. So now that they've added this classic mode, I think I might have to finally jump in myself.
It's cool. Yeah, it's a cool game. I like it quite a bit. But okay, let's hit these notable releases and then say goodnight, shall we? I think the biggest one this week, probably Batman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, the biggest three this week is Batman. Yeah. Because we got not one, not two, not four, but three Batman Arkham games on the Nintendo Switch this week in the form of the Arkham Trilogy. Really excited. I mean, obviously, this is one of the best video game, one of the best licensed trilogies of all time. Arkham City especially is kind of a gold standard when it comes to superhero games. But I mean, Arkham Asylum is still amazing, and Arkham Knight. If they're able to get these games running well on Switch, would be a really good time. That's going to be the key thing. I don't know. I haven't had the chance to try these versions of the game out myself. I don't know how they run, but I'm hoping. I mean, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City were both Xbox 360, PS3 level games. They should be running flawlessly on the system, I'm hoping. So I don't know about Arkham Knight, but the other two shouldn't have too many issues.
Arkham Knight's in rough shape on Switch. It's in real rough shape.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah, so there's been a lot. It's been pretty widely publicized at this point. Arkham Knight is in real rough shape. Frame rate's really bad. It's really choppy and inconsistent, especially because the big thing with Arkham Knight is they added the Batmobile to it.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
there was all that issue. There were all the drama with the PC version of Arkham Knight that was so bad they actually had to delist the game. And that's, I was really concerned about specifically that game on the Nintendo Switch.
These games have a history of like bad ports. Like there's something about them makes them like difficult to port well, I guess. But when it comes to Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, it looks like they have at least used the original versions as a basis, not like the, because they came out with that Return to Arkham collection many years ago.
Yeah.
They're not basing it off of that. They're basing it off of the original releases. And Arkham Asylum, from what I've seen, is close. Like, there are a couple, like, when things get real busy, it'll drop a little bit, but it's pretty much, like, it's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Arkham City, from what I hear, is actually great. Good. Like, from what I hear, the Arkham City port is really good. Like, no complaints. It is perfect. So
if you're going to nail just one of those, that would be the one to do it with.
Yeah, and those are the two that I was most interested in playing on Switch anyways.
Yeah.
I wasn't all that interested in playing Arkham Knight on Switch. It's my least favorite of the three anyway. But with that being said, one thing that does annoy me, we've talked on the show about the way the physical is handled. Nothing that can be done about that. For the digital release, though, you have to buy the trilogy. You can't just buy them a la carte, which, despite the fact that, like,
they're listed separately.
There are three separate listings for each of the games. You cannot buy them separately. You have to buy the trilogy. And that makes no sense to me. I don't understand why that's a thing. Because I wanted to go in there today and just buy Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. But
that's
got to
be just a limited time thing. They're probably just trying to sell as many copies of the trilogy as possible. But that's got to just be temporary. They're going to have individual price listings for all three of them at some point. I've got to imagine. Again, like I saw the three ended. Like there's a separate listing for the trilogy and a separate listing for each of the three individual games. They had the price up a while ago for the trilogy at $59.99, but I wasn't able to see the price for the individual games. I thought, you know, maybe they'll just drop those prices on the day when they release for whatever reason. But that's a bizarre choice. That's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So is what it is. I'm going to pick it up. Cause I, you know, I really want to play Asylum and City anyways on Switch, and I'll probably, you know, do some kind of video or stream showing Knight and its, and whatever its, you know, form is here.
Knight spelled K-I-N-I-G-H-T.
Yeah. Yeah.
But very nice. Yes. But, moving on, we've got a couple more big releases. I do want to shout out very quickly that Jet Force Gemini did come out on NSO, at least in Japan.
Japan it did.
In this bizarre adults-only NSO app that Nintendo launched, which I think is adorable, especially considering that Jet Force Gemini is rated T, you know, over here. But that's a weird thing. So if you want to play it now, that's current, technically available over in Japan, again, as part of this weird adults-only NSO app. But a couple other games. Seth, you've played a little bit of this Toaster Ball game that came out this week. Mm-hmm. We talked about it a little bit on the show, but it's like, explain it to me again, because it's still so weird.
It's like a fighting game that's basically like Pong, but instead of paddles, it's toast. And you're shooting up toast from toasters that you choose to play as with various stage hazards and stage effects. I actually put up a video on the YouTube channel showing it off for anybody interested. It's a very simplistic game. It's real straightforward. I think it's only $10. But funny, like a fun, funny, like party game, you know? I'd recommend it for people who are like looking for a local multiplayer. There's no online multiplayer, unfortunately. But if you're looking for like a fun local multiplayer party game sort of thing, it's a fun one to kind of bust out. It's silly. You know, there's like deep lore and character bios for all the toasters you can play as. You know, it's just kind of a silly, goofy little game.
I couldn't imagine trying to pitch that to, you know, anybody other than you know, an in-house independent developer trying to pitch that to an actual publisher. I just, I couldn't fathom that. Considering the how you just described it to me, I was like, you're just making up words at this point. That's just a Mad Libs. That's just a Mad Libs video game description at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So that came out. It's fun. Again, there's a video on the YouTube channel. We got a code for it. So thanks to the publisher who provided us the code for it. Another video that's on the YouTube channel right now is for Roots of Pacha, which we also got. So thanks to the publisher for providing us that. That game is really cool. I talk about it in a little more detail on tomorrow's episode of our podcast, All In, a Nintendo podcast. So if you want to hear a little bit more, but like my pitch for it is Stone Age Stardew Valley. You know, like if you're looking for a new Stardew Valley thing, something that has those same vibes, Roots of Pacha is pretty much as good as it gets in that regard. I've never seen something come as close as it does to sort of nailing the vibe while still being its own, you know, thing. Really cool. I was very, very impressed with the time I spent with it. I'm looking forward to playing more.
Nice. Well, if you're a fan of the old Turok series, Turok 3 Remastered, Shadows of Oblivion, just came out this week on the Nintendo Switch. Certainly worth noting that Turok 1 and Turok 2 Remastered came out several years ago and are both really good on the Nintendo Switch. I haven't been able to play this version of this game yet, but I don't know. I'm excited. Like I said, the first two, I own both of them. They run really, really well. The first one especially is still a blast to play. So a lot of people I know aren't even aware that this game even exists. So just wanted to make sure to shout that one out.
Yeah, I like Turok. Yeah. You know, it's nice to see Turok 3 coming over. So bring that on. That came out. We also got Dragon Quest Monsters, The Dark Prince, the new Dragon Quest Monsters game. For those who don't know, that's kind of almost like Dragon Quest take on like Pokemon little bit.
Basically.
So that's cool. I don't think that series has been around since like the DS. So getting a new entry in that series is kind of neat. So yeah, that came out. Dragon Quest spinoffs are usually, you know, pretty good. And then the last thing I've got here is SteamWorld Build. The new SteamWorld game, which hopefully we'll be checking out pretty soon. So stay tuned for that. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm a huge fan of the SteamWorld series, so can't wait.
Yeah, we did the SteamWorld Dig Indie Showcases fairly recently, and yeah, this one looks super, super interesting. It's been getting some pretty good reviews, so I'm interested to check this one out and, you know, dig into it.
I can't wait, man. I love myself some SteamWorld, so
yes, sir.
Really looking forward to it. But I think that's all we got for the notable releases this week.
I'm pretty sure. If we missed anything, let us know. If you guys are excited for any of these releases, let us know. Let us know what you guys are up to this weekend. Reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Podcast, on YouTube at youtube.com/All In Podcast, aka right here if you're following us, if you're watching us live as we're doing this. And if you are, thank you. And, you know, be sure to like, subscribe, hit the bell, and all that good stuff while you're here. Certainly helps the show out. In addition to that, we also have an amazing Discord. We would love for you guys to join. We have a fantastic community that I spent a lot of time with over the past couple weeks on the main show. Go ahead and check out our two-part Friendsgiving, where a ton of our amazing community members came on and joined me. You, listening to this right now, can be a member of that very community. Come on over and join our Discord. And, I mean, speaking of our amazing community, we have, you know, a ton of legendary patrons who support this show that even in and amongst everything else that we do, we still find time to create exclusive content for them.
Patreon.com/All In Podcast, 7-day free trial over there. If you want to see what all the fuss is about, we produce exclusive content every week over there as well. So we appreciate you for doing that. Again, bit.ly/All In Merch. If you're watching us on YouTube, you should see some merch links below too. If you want to pick up some swag, that is appreciated. And again, if you listen on the podcast feed, reviews are very helpful and free way to support the show. So we appreciate y'all very much for doing that.
very, very much to all of those, again, legendary patrons, to everybody who has dropped words, to you who have just now, while I've been saying this, did the like, subscribe, bell thing on YouTube. You're awesome as well. And to all of you, to the people who have picked up a piece of our merch, to all of you out there who have supported this content that we've been creating for years, to all of you, we just want to extend a very sincere namaste.
Namaste, everybody. That's been the news. I appreciate y'all for coming out. Fulia and Bowza were here in the live chat tonight. Big thanks to y'all for coming through. We have a fun episode of All In, a Nintendo podcast, going live tomorrow. So the links are in the video description for the podcast as well. Yeah, Eric's pointing to Super Mario RPG on the screen behind him. We're doing a review for that. We did an indie showcase on Dredge. And a top five for to celebrate the release of the Batman Arkham trilogy. We're counting on the top five Batman games in Nintendo history. So it's a fun episode. You're going to hear even more sickly Seth on that episode. So please be excited, about that. And in terms of stuff for the YouTube channel, yeah, be on the lookout for some SteamWorld build content soon. Hopefully be on the lookout for some Batman Arkham stuff. Pretty soon, hopefully. So yeah, we have some stuff in the docket. Yeah, I think that's it though. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next week. Bye bye.
Have a great weekend, guys.